You're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM, and this is Sidebar, the show where we bring you the news you won't find on the front page. We're your hosts, Maddie Welsh,
Emily Moneyhun,
and Truman Chose.
Truman is our guest host for today because Lauren is far, far away tonight. Today we'll be talking about hot dogs, bombs, and Easter eggs.
Now let's get into it.
According to AP News, on the London Underground, hot dogs are no joking matter. This story is from today, actually, March 28th, as we're recording. And the headline says, "No joke, UK comedian told to remove hot dog from Subway poster over junk food ban." And then the story says, "Comedian Ed Gamble has been ordered to change a Subway station poster campaign for his new stand-up show because the image of a hot dog violated the Transit Network's ban on junk food advertising. The poster for the show Hot Diggity Dog showed a mustard and ketchup smeared Gamble beside a half-eaten hot dog on a plate."
I really don't, like, classify hot dogs as junk food. Is that a problem with me?
Do you even know what a hot dog is?
It's protein.
But I think that the banning of hot dogs is Orwellian.
Do you want to hear a hot take?
Yes.
I'm kind of okay with the government suggesting that junk food is bad. I think that the cringiest thing that the right has done in the last 15 years is come out as pro-junk food and pro-sugar just because Michelle Obama tried to get kids to eat vegetables.
That's actually a great take.
Thank you, Maddie.
However, I'm with them.
Yeah, get out of my studio.
Put the hot dogs back on the underground. Some more background on this. The story says, since 2019, Transport for London has banned ads for foods that are high in fat, sugar, and salt from the city's subway trains and stations, buses, and bus shelters. It also bars advertisements that promote unhealthy or unrealistic body shapes. It's very interesting.
Next up, I have a story for the season. A shortage of eggs in shops during Holy Week has led Norwegians to flock to supermarkets across the border in Sweden and hoard the traditional Easter food. Norwegian news outlet said Thursday that the Nordby shopping center in Sweden, located just off the border about 100 kilometers south of the capital, Oslo, has been filled by desperate Norwegians trying to stock up on eggs.
Do you like eggs, Emily?
Love them.
Hey, what was the name of that Norwegian news outlet?
She skipped over it because she can't pronounce it. You heard it here first, folks.
Truman, you have, like, you're hanging on by a thread here, buddy.
He's bringing accountability to the show.
This is not what this show is about.
Anyway, let's talk about the eggs.
Okay, it says here the center's Maxi Matt food store ran out of eggs Tuesday, while the adjacent Nordby supermarket has had to limit the number of eggs purchased to 320 packs per household. That's an insane amount of eggs. What are they doing with them?
I don't know if this is just because I'm in a class on Orwell, but this feels Orwellian too. This is literally like rations.
Well, here's the thing though. This was done by a private corporation, not by the government, but I still don't support it. This is stupid.
How do you have Easter without eggs, you know?
It's pretty much with like the Jesus. Main part of Easter.
Eggs.
I know, it's about the eggs, right, guys?
All right, folks, it's time for my story. My goal is to be even more entertaining than Lauren Scott, which is a very high bar. So my... Or maybe it's not.
Emily shook her head.
Let the record show.
Well, the good news is that I'm a man, and so I will be at least somewhat funnier.
Watch yourself!
All right, my story comes from UPI News. This is from March 27th. Headline is, "Dog digging in Florida yard unearths decades-old military bomb." They go on to say, "A dog digging in her owner's Florida yard unearthed something far more surprising and dangerous than a bone. A decades-old military bomb." Matthew Sims of Jacksonville said his dog, Baby. Okay, the dog's name Baby. So Baby was playing in his yard when she unearthed a metallic object next to his garage. You couldn't tell what it was until you started pulling it up, Sims told the TV station. Once I got it halfway out, I was like, oh, I know what this is. Let me gently put this back down. Sims said the object was about a foot long and weighed around 10 pounds. Police said the object, an old, unexploded piece of military ordnance, was likely buried for decades based on its state of decay. Nearby homes were evacuated before the bomb squad hauled the object away. The origins of the antique bomb remain unclear.
What I want to know is why this is in Florida. Like, that seems like a strange place for it.
Yeah, I know. So that's part of my... So A... I was originally thinking of just Googling Florida man story to see if I could find something. But yeah, like the U.S. hasn't been attacked on like our own soil for years.
Like, is this like a Civil War bomb? Did they have bombs in this? I don't even know.
I don't think
not
so.
Like this.
So why is that there? I think this is maybe just like a hobby bomb owner. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, so maybe not a military bomb?
Yeah. Okay. Just like a this seems like something... Someone got a... souvenir. Mm-hmm. Someone got a souvenir and they just wanted to keep it safe and sound from the government, from Truman's beloved government.
I think actually it was Baby's bomb. Baby buried the bomb in order to get attention. I think that's what this is.
So are we thinking that dogs have evolved to a higher level of intelligence now, but they still just want attention? Okay.
Yes.
So maybe that's the real story.
Yes.
And they don't want us to know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad that we're doing like deep, hard hitting journalism on this
show.
Yes,
this is very important.
Yep.
People need to know this.
We're on to you, baby.
Speaking of baby, you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. The show is Sidebar. We're moving on to the segment where Emily Moneyhung quizzes Maddie Welsh and myself, who is not Lauren Scott. Three stories, two of which are true, one of which is made up. And it's up to us to try and figure out which ones, or which one, singular, is false or else.
First up, from AP News. 2,500 brine shrimp to break the world record. Fredericksburg. Amateur herpetologist becomes the Guinness World Record holder for hosting largest colony of sea monkeys. Ed Helsby has been raising various amphibians, reptiles, and sea creatures for over 50 years. This includes the beloved gift of kids everywhere, sea monkeys. I've always had sea monkeys, but recently I noticed a spike in the population and decided to do an official count. And wouldn't you know it, I had upwards of 2,000. Helsby contacted Guinness. After the painstaking task of counting each miniature shrimp, Helsby was dubbed record holder for the largest non-commercial supply of sea monkeys. Helsby says he wants to use his newfound title to bring awareness to the inhumane sea monkey industry.
I'll wait to hear the other two, but I kind of want to call Cap on this one. For those in the audience who are unaware what Cap means, that means I think it's fake.
What is a herpetologist?
Herpetologist. He works with amphibians, reptiles, and sea creatures.
Okay, so, well, okay, first, Maddie, I'm just trying to remember, what, like, actually is a sea monkey?
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah,
what is a sea monkey?
It does say in the title of the article, brine shrimp. So, I'm going to assume a brine shrimp.
Okay, just the combination of reptiles, amphibians, and sea creatures, like, that just doesn't make sense to me for sea monkeys. I think of it as, like, a plankton. Or I guess that's a sea creature, but it's just a...
It's a brine shrimp.
Okay,
it's just
2,000. I don't... I've not actually seen Happy Feet 2, but I've seen the meme where the one krill is like,
They are not krill.
They are much
bigger than krill.
No, but my point is that he's like, I'm one in a krillion. Implying, even though krillion is made up, that implies there are a lot of krill. Sea monkeys are similar to krill. Ergo... There should be more than 2,000. That is such a low number. So fake. What's the next story?
That's fair. Although, here's my one pushback against your theory that this is fake, which is that I don't think Emily could come up with this.
I bet she could. Yeah, give her more credit than that.
All right, what do you got next?
Next up, from NBC Dallas-Fort Worth. Woman orders a $275 ashtray, receives a can of tuna instead. Bailey Cormier just wanted to splurge on a little online luxury, but what she was sent was more than a little fishy. In a now viral TikTok video, Cormier, a Nashville area resident, recounted her experience ordering a Dolce & Gabbana ashtray from luxury retailer Saks Fifth Avenue and receiving something that caught her by surprise. A can of tuna. When I opened it, this is what I found. A can of albacore tuna, Cormier says. I don't know if someone from the warehouse took it and replaced it and did some cellophane with a hairdryer. I don't know. But this is the most bleeping expensive can of tuna I have ever bought. The video's comment section shows that many others have had similar experiences dealing with the online Saks Fifth Avenue orders.
Maddie, do you watch TikTok?
No, I love God.
Well, see.
And America.
Yeah. I know I said that I like government. I don't like foreign communist government. I like my good American government. And I like good American companies like Instagram. I want my data to be seen by Mark Zuckerberg, not the communists. So I only watch Instagram Reels. And so point being, I have no idea if this is like an actual TikTok or not. Like, it could be. It sounds kind of real to me. Do you have any thoughts?
I believe it. I think that I like actually think that Dolce & Gabbana in like a postmodern art type way would like sell a can of tuna as an ashtray. Yeah. Does that not just sound so postmodern?
Wait, was there tuna in the can, or was it just like an empty can? Like,
no, it was a full unopened can.
Okay.
One of the commenters said, just take the tuna out and you have an ashtray.
That's what I'm saying. This is so postmodern, you know?
I could see it.
It's absurd. It's surreal. It's unexpected. Yeah. What's next, Emily?
I'm so glad you asked.
I am too. I was really curious.
From KXAN, rodent's brain provides UT researchers understanding of love and relationships.
This is so sweet.
A small furry rodent could be key to understanding how we are changed by love. Researchers with the University of Texas are studying prairie voles to discover how coupling influences our brain and protects us from stress. I don't think folks appreciate just the extent to which this strange little fuzzy creature has shaped our understanding of human love. Ultimately, the team hopes to use this data to better understand how long-term relationships can influence and mitigate stress. This experiment is the first to track brain patterns in voles during mating, according to the University of Texas.
I think you have me stumped today, Emily.
I'm still... Number one is fake. I gotta go with that still.
I think I might... I actually might end up guessing number one because of your mathematical analysis. Like, I think that holds up. You know, I'm going to make my guess and say number one is a lie.
I'm going to say number one is a lie.
We're never letting you back on the show. Number one is the lie.
Let's go. Okay. Also, before we move on to the...
No, but the world record for most sea monkeys is 2,000. So what? You can take that.
Well, guys, to make Lauren proud, I just wanted to mention that you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM, specifically Sidebar with Maddie Welsh, Emily Moneyhun, and myself, Truman Chose, your homecoming king, not Lauren Scott. And I'm going to mention another story about a California police department blocked from using Lego mugshots. This is from the Huffington Post. Actually, AP, but I found it on the Huffington Post because, like, I wanted to go for a more lib outlet than usually.
Good
on the
diverse
show.
News sources.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, exactly. So Los Angeles, a Southern California police department has been handcuffed by Lego after the toy company asked the agency to stop adding Lego heads to cover the faces of suspects in images it shares on social media.
It looks like we have a clip here. Shall we play it?
Sure.
As Inland Empire Bureau Chief Rob McMillan reports, it's in response to a new law that took effect this year.
The Murrieta Police Department getting a lot of attention lately over these social media posts, not showing the suspects' faces, instead covering them up with Lego heads.
Folks, you just heard about how they covered faces in the mugshots. My favorite part of this is the comment, across the U.S., law enforcement agencies have often posted galleries of photos for, quote, mugshot Mondays, unquote, and, quote, wanted Wednesdays, unquote, to social media in efforts to bolster community engagement. Like, what does that mean? Do they want people to commit more crimes? Why does the community need to be engaged with law enforcement? To me, it's just kind of like, you know, the cops do their thing, I do my thing, and then I just, like, why do we need to be engaged? Like, this with them, this does not make sense. Do you guys have thoughts?
You know what I'm going to say.
What are you going to say?
That this is Orwellian.
You know what? In this case, so I agree that you were previously Orwellian, that the other stuff was Orwellian, but I think this one's bad. So I think we're in agreement on this one, Maddie.
True.
Is there anything else?
Can you be more specific about that claim?
Well, okay. Law enforcement, like, engage, you know what I mean? Like, they're, like, engaging with the community in, like, a fun way. That is the thought police.
They're just being silly, goofy little guys.
Like, this is just crazy that this ever happened at all.
Okay, look, Big Brother is still Big Brother, even if he's silly, goofy, okay?
True.
He's just Big Bro.
My favorite line in this article is this. Lego did not respond to multiple emails requesting comment.
Yes, and then there's another comment from a politician person. Do they want people who are being paid with their tax dollars be paid to put Lego faces on people so it can be shown on social media while they could be doing other things that could be protecting them? That's for them to decide, them being the people, of course. I don't know, like, okay, I know I just talked about that, but also, like, I go touch grass, dude. Like, is that really the worst thing in the world if some intern is just, like, putting Lego heads on the criminals? I think it's funny. I'll be honest. I don't like the idea of the community engagement, but if you just kind of want to meme it as an intern, great. Go for it, you know?
Next up from NBC New York. New York man wants his 750-pound alligator back after authorities seized it from his home. The owner of an alligator recently seized by conservation officers in New York is fighting for its return, saying the reptile he named Albert and has shared a home with for more than three decades is a gentle giant that's no danger to anyone.
I believe him. I believe that Albert is a gentle giant.
The owner says, he's just a big baby, showing pictures of Albert gripping a stuffed alligator in its teeth and resting his chin on a stack of pillows. That's actually adorable.
I seriously believe him.
Yeah, I do too, until Albert's in my backyard.
You know, this reminds me of another episode that we did when we were talking about like a 450-pound pig or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really perplexed by that and couldn't figure out whether that was a really large pig or not. We determined that it was average. But I wonder what the relative size of Albert is. Like, is 750 pounds big, medium, small?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a picture right now of him. And
he looks meaty.
He looks meaty. He looks like a beefy guy.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, New York does not seem like a great location for this creature.
Yeah, it's kind of cold. I mean, where is he living? Inside?
Yeah, I don't know. Albert also is 34 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Which seems pretty old for an alligator. Would you want a 34-year-old 750-pound alligator as a pet?
Oh my goodness. This says the owner had let other people pet the alligator, even get in the pool with him, proving grounds for the removal.
But did he do anything to anyone?
Well, I guess not, but, like, would you get in a pool with an alligator?
I'm from Florida.
You have to for citizenship.
Yes. Our last story for today
is about a very fancy race in Paris. From AP News, Usain Bolt's sprint world records were never in danger. Then again, even the world's fastest ever human likely wouldn't have been so quick while balancing a tray with a croissant, a cup of coffee, and a glass of water through the streets of Paris, and without spilling it everywhere.
Croissant!
France's capital resurrected a 110-year-old race for its server Sunday. The dash through central Paris celebrated the dexterous and, yes, by their own admission, sometimes famously moody men and women without whom France wouldn't be France. I think we should add this to the Olympics. This is not an ad for the Olympics. So the people who won this won medals and two tickets each for the July 26th Olympic opening ceremony along the River Seine.
Oh, okay.
And a night out at a Paris hotel. This is Sidebar on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. We are your hosts, Maddie Welsh,
Emily Moneyhun,
and Truman Chose.
You can find previous episodes of Sidebar on sidebar.transistor.fm or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Once again, this has been Sidebar on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM.
Yeah.